Blog Talk Radio.
There are so many great things to say about the Honda CR-V, so to save time, we've condensed them down into one easy acronym, TEUSNAWRBSUVBOTYCWBAMRCS. That stands for 2018 U.S. News & World Report Best SUV Brand of the Year, complete with Bluetooth and multi-angle rearview camera. Standard, the Honda CR-V, available to test drive today.
Visit U.S. News Best Cars at usnews.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. If you have any questions, topics, or would like to be a guest, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Also, check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at ccbpublishing.com/aservodidio.html. Well, tonight I have such a powerful show planned. On the line, I have Regina Catrino. She is a mother, and we will be discussing her daughter, Jaina Montero. Jaina was an amazing, vibrant, intelligent, and beautiful child who grew up without wanting. She attended 14 years of Catholic school education. She had a hard-working, devoted single mother, an estranged father, a doting grandfather, and an overly protective grandmother in a small but big city, Yonkers, New York. She had a ton of friends, was admired by many, and a heart of gold. I called her my rebel because nothing frightened her other than clowns. She took chances without knowing what the outcome would be, without a second thought. She was unique and definitely one of a kind. There will never be another Jaina. She woke up one morning to find her Lexus submerged in water from a flash flood. And the next day she woke up to the guy she had just started dating to find him dead next to her. She had slept through the seizure he supposedly died from and blamed herself for not being awake to save him. Troubled and guilt-ridden, she had a nervous breakdown. One day, someone stuck a needle in her arm and said it would make her feel better. The next day, she wanted to feel better again. And the next day, she was an amateur drug addicted to heroin. Regina, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and thank you for your bravery. I really commend you for coming on the show tonight and sharing your story.
Thank you, Alexa, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to do so.
Yes. And what's so incredible, too, I'd want to tell my listeners, which wasn't planned, I book my guests weeks, months ahead of time, and really I don't pick the dates when the shows are going to air. I don't pick anything. I just pick when we're going to do the shows. And it happens to be that today is the anniversary. Regina, could you please tell my listeners about that?
Ironically, today, September 19th, is the date that my daughter passed away in the year 2012 of the accidental overdose that caused her death. It just gives me no doubt that she is behind the fact that today is her angelversary and this show is taking place on her angelversary in honor and memory of her.
Yes. As we were speaking about it before the show, we were both saying how it gave us chills and how it's so important that God, that Jaina, are here for this show to help spread this message and hopefully give some education, some hope, and some comfort to those who are listening.
Absolutely.
And I think as I read the beginning of the bio, and there's so much more to Jaina as we are going to go through during this show, but I read that first part because I think so many times heroin addiction, drug addiction, people have a stereotype, people have a stigma, and they don't realize how fast or what elements or tragic triggers can occur that can lead someone down this path. How do you feel about that?
That is so true, because one mistake, one friend saying, try this one time, and it's got you. And I call it the demon. Not everybody wants to do it. Sometimes it's peer pressure. Sometimes it's to take the pain away. And sometimes people just don't have the strength to say no. And that's the important thing. Say no. Be aware of what the causes and the circumstances beneath the drug and the consequences that can happen are. Most addicts do not know that, or they think they're invincible. It doesn't matter where you grew up, how you grew up. Doesn't matter if you're poor, if you're wealthy. It does not discriminate. Everybody is subject to the disease of addiction.
Yes, yes. And I think, you know, you hear different stories of how people began this, and it happens so many times from a tragic event, an injury. And I think, as you know, as I've said in my book and I've said many times during the show, that heroin addiction is that one time you try it, the odds of you overdosing and being addicted are so high. It's not one of those things, well, you know, let me try a beer and see what happens. This is so serious, and I think we can't stress it enough that this is not something just to try to see if I can feel better. I understand people are in pain, and they want to get rid of that pain when they're in such a desperate state. But it's important, I feel, that the show really help educate people that this is a whole different can of worms.
That's exactly so. The addiction of heroin grabs you immediately. Not everybody knows that. The new addict becomes an amateur addict, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't know the dosage to take. And this isn't just heroin. This is a wide range of other drugs, street drugs by the name of Roxy and Opana, prescription drugs by the name of Vicodin, Xanax, OxyContin, hydrocodone. It can be given to you by your physician for pain, and before you know it, you're addicted to something more. In Jaina's case, she was clean for 2 months because her addiction damaged her heart. And she was discharged after her heart surgery on a 4-week supply of OxyContin and Xanax, which reintroduced her to the drug and the craving. Well, needless to say, on the 5th week, she sought drugs on the street and passed away on the 5th week, all because of being reintroduced to the drug to keep her comfortable after a surgical procedure.
It's just baffling and disturbing how a doctor, I understand there's major surgery, people are going to be in immense pain, I get that, but if you know someone has a history, number one, number two, you know how addictive these drugs are immediately and someone's in a vulnerable state, why send someone home? Why not have someone supervise? Why not them, you know, be in a place? And I know everyone has insurance and money and it's a lot to pay for, but you know what? It could save a human life. Have them supervised, have them being monitored by a medical team to make sure they're weaned off these opiates. And I mean, it's just disturbing how these different scenarios keep occurring.
That's absolutely true. And from what I understand, the reason being that I was told, it is not the doctor's responsibility to keep the addict clean. It's only the doctor's responsibility to keep his patient comfortable. And I guess after his surgery and his patient is gone from his office, they are no longer his responsibility. And it's up to the patient to stay clean. But when they're reintroduced to a drug that they were highly addicted to, it recurs immediately and 10 times worse.
Yes. And I think also, even if the person's intentions are, I am not going to use, this is not what I want, the physical addiction to the opiates overpowers, I don't think people understand that, overpowers the good intentions and the strength. It's a physical, your body craves it. And the pain and the sickness you feel, from what I've heard from many people, it is horrific. That's why they end up seeking more heroin or prescription drugs if they can't have them prescribed anymore.
That is absolutely true. I witnessed my daughter downward spiral, suffer in pain. It is a horrible, horrible physical experience. And the disease is no different than fighting a disease such as cancer. The only difference is that the drug and the addiction disease not only takes over your body, but it takes over your soul and your mind also. It's actually demonic.
And I've heard many, many people who've had been addicts themselves, family members and close ones who've been around someone, that's the exact term they use. It becomes demonic. They become this demon, this soulless person that whatever they're driven by addiction.
Absolutely. The person changes. They don't even recognize themselves. And the people around them, the family, the friends, the coworkers, they don't understand that it's somebody else in their body. It's that demon in their body. And don't put the blame on the addict and don't judge the addict. That addict needs help and that addict needs support. And there are resources out there for everyone, the addict and the family that is suffering along with the addict. They're available. They're widespread, and people need to know where to find those support groups and those support books and those support recovery places.
Yes. I think you bring up such an incredible point. As a show I did the other week, someone had wrote in about, what about those who are left behind? What about those who are left, the friends, the family of those people who are still suffering and having to deal with the aftermath? Because a lot of times people don't seek help. They suffer in silence. They suffer on their own also. You know, they have a stigma. They feel that the community is a certain way. And I think, one, we have to educate and bring up this dialogue of addiction, of heroin addiction. And I think, too, we need to make these services really known and around. And I know you have a whole list of different resources. What are some places listeners can go to if themselves or they have a family member suffering?
Well, the one that I like the most is an organization called GRASP. GRASP stands for Grief Recovery After a Substance Passing. It is a group that was founded many years ago, and there are 75 groups worldwide, or I should say in the United States, 11 of those groups are right here in New York. They meet once a month. They are focused on compassion and peer support for those in the same situation. So everybody is understanding of others. A lot of people shy away from this because they are embarrassed of what happened to their child or their grandchild or their brother or their sister because of the stigma. And that stigma needs to be reduced and disappear because not every addict is a bad person, and not every addict chooses to be an addict. They have dreams just like everybody else has dreams. And more resources for the individual can be found on Facebook, believe it or not. There are Facebook groups that offer a lot of support to those going through the same situation. And this kind of makes it a little bit more confidential, rather than putting yourself out there and being embarrassed, because there are some people that are still embarrassed of that stigma. Facebook has groups such as Living with the Life of an Addict, living after the death of an addict, surviving and learning how to deal with the addict. There are also books that have been written, and most of those books are self-healing books. They give some education about how to deal with it, but the most important thing, I think, is to get together with others that are going through the same thing, because it's more understood by those that you are speaking amongst. And GRASP is one of my favorite because it is local, it's no charge, and they meet once a month.
Incredible. And I think while you were speaking, I was thinking about, I think addiction is not the stereotypical face. And I do these shows, I speak about this, and I think we need to know the human behind the addiction. I think so many times people don't see that. They feel it's a certain way. And I think these people have dreams. They have goals. They are humans. Part of your bio I'd like to read is what you sent to me was, I think of my daughter every second of every day. I think of her laugh, her smile, and her good memories. I talk to her often and get signs from her on a regular basis. We have a relationship no one understands. She watches over me and I have my back. I vow the day that she died, I'd never let her be forgotten. I will make sure that her life mattered and that she made a difference in this world. The song I Was Here by Beyonce sums it all up. She was an aspiring model before she died. Having done a 4-page spread in Glamour magazine modeling business suits for Walmart, she was model of the week for an NYC entertainment guide. She used to joke that her dream was to be on a billboard on the West Side Highway and cause accidents. I want to make her dream come true and get her face on that billboard. The caption will read, "My dream was to be on a billboard. I wasn't supposed to die before it came true. Opiate overdose awareness." It is,
that is my mission
just got
this year. Yes, that is my mission this year. It's been 6 years. And I need to make this dream come true for her. I think that it will help others, not only making her dream come true, but having her beautiful face up on a billboard with a caption such as that will catch somebody's attention, even if for one moment, whether it be people that knew her or people that didn't know her. They will stop for that one moment and realize, oh my goodness, this beautiful person was taken by addiction disease. And hopefully it will impact and make a difference on one family, one person, one child. And if that can happen, then her life will have meaning.
How has it been? What keeps you strong and gives you the strength to come out and talk about your story and to move forward and heal?
I think my daughter gives me that strength. She allows me to get out of bed every day and put one foot in front of the other. She was always my sidekick in life. She was always my strength in life. And now she continues to be so as my angel. I watched her suffer. I watched her pain. And I witnessed her sudden downward spiral. And I vowed never to let that happen to another person or another family, not even my worst enemy, because it is the most horrific thing to go through, to suffer through, and to deal with afterwards. It never ends. The pain is constant. You get flashbacks. You remember. You never forget. And she pushes me along. Her soul is very strong, just like she was in life. Her spirit and her soul are very, very strong. And without her being able to push me along, I don't know that I would be able to go on every day. But I look up every morning and I say, Jaina, I'm doing this for you. Her story just began. It didn't end. There's a lot more that she is going to accomplish.
Yes, and I think that is so important, too, that it's not the end. It is a beginning of a new chapter, of new beginnings, and being able to spread hope, to spread awareness, to spread education. And her story is so incredible and so powerful. And there's so many different levels of it, of how it began, the many medical issues she had with all of this. And I would say the disastrous recipe that led up to the overdose. And I think people really need to understand and really be able to explore this. Well, are you ever interested in, I don't know if you're writing a book or do any public speaking about this, because I feel that your message really needs to be spoken at schools and everywhere for parents, adults, professionals, for anyone to hear, because this is such a powerful message.
I have not been speaking as of yet. However, I have requested to do so in the city of Yonkers. I am more than willing to speak in front of schools, and I write to Jaina every day, and I write my feelings down every day, which I would love to write a book that tells about my experience and my ordeal and the turmoils that her and I suffered together. I don't know where to start, and one of these days I will figure it out. And I am still trying to get the message across to local authorities and politicians and dignitaries that it's important for me to get that story out, especially in the city of Yonkers, where she was so admired and so well known, where people will kind of grasp the importance of what happened to her. And that it can happen to anybody.
Yes. And I think definitely writing a book and then doing that and speaking all over is something for you to do. And let me know if you need any assistance of it, because you're definitely going to be coming on my TV show to speak about this too. And I think it's so important to keep this moving. And I think also for those addicted, but also for those surviving, It is a sign of hope, and I think it's strength for people that they can move forward. It might obviously going to be a different way, not what they expected, but to be able to heal and find somewhat of a peace, of their own type of peace. Is it by helping others? Is it spreading the word? Is it saving just one life? It's so powerful.
That is so true. Unfortunately, it doesn't come right away. It doesn't come in the first year after the death. Sometimes it doesn't come for the second year. You have to learn to accept what happened. And in my case, I thank the Lord that it happened the way it did. Jaina peacefully fell asleep in her car and never woke up. And that is one thing that I am grateful for. As bittersweet as it is, she wasn't in a car accident. She wasn't found in an alleyway. She wasn't robbed and left for dead and not found for 3 weeks. So in that matter, you have to look at the reason and the fact that things could have been worse. If the addiction continued, it could have been a more horrible death. And God and Jaina both made me realize that life goes on. And because I do have this special communication with my daughter, I can understand it a lot better than most people. And I can only hope to teach others how to understand the way I perceive her death, that she's not really gone. Her soul lives on. Her spirit is all around. She is constantly giving me signs that some people will not interpret those signs. I am fortunate to be able to interpret those signs. And I thank her for that because she's aware that I get it.
Yes, yes. And you do get it. And I think what's so powerful is also, my listeners know that I have a very strong faith in God. And when I have guests on, that isn't a prerequisite that I ask you, do you have to believe in what I believe in, and you have to be a certain. I never even ask that question. But I find it, you know, every time after every show, and especially hearing you speak about your faith in God and your signs and how he's helping you move through this, it touches my heart. And I think it's so powerful, too, that, you know, believing in a higher power and having that comfort and support is also a part of recovering and healing. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to believe in a certain one, but I think it's having, you know, believing in that hope.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people that will not be able to understand the statement that I am going to make, but very often I thank God for taking my daughter when he did. Reason being that if he didn't take her when he did, it was going to get worse before it got better. And I think he saved me a lot more grief than I needed to go through. And he did it for me, to help me, and for me to be able to cope. So for that, I thank God for not allowing it to go on and get worse.
Yes. And I think so many times I'm get questions on the show or in my private practice, why does God allow these things? And I think it's okay to question and to be upset with God and to say, how could you let this be? But I think it's being careful that you don't get stuck in that, but also kind of, you know, having that as the stages of grief, but still being able to work through this and to hear your statement and your story. It's just so powerful to be able to say what you were just saying about the healing and about being able to have this relationship with God. And we know it's not easy. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. And I think some listeners right now might say, I would never do that. I'm still in pain. It could take 10 years. It could take 15 years. It doesn't matter. It's never too late to tell your story and to move forward, to always come forward and tell your story.
So true. There are stages that you go through. The initial stage is anger with God. And then you go through a type of understanding why, even if that why isn't answered. Then you go through the acceptance, however hard that acceptance may be. And then you come to the realization that you cannot change things. The only thing you can do is carry on the best way that you can to keep the memory of your child or your lost one alive and vibrant.
Yes. Well, Regina, we're at the end of the show, and I just wanted to thank you again so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. If anyone needs to contact you or have any updates, is there a website or a link?
They can contact me via email, which is Regina, B as in boy, T as in Thomas, 928@gmail.com. And I am also more than happy to take phone calls, 914-469-6505. I will do whatever I can do to help, support, or direct somebody in the right direction to get the help and support that they need in their particular situation.
You're truly an angel of God and a blessing. And I want to thank you, and I want to thank Jaina so much for sharing this story and providing so many people listening and myself with hope and inspiration. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in this evening. Remember, have a good night, and God
thank
bless.
Thank you, Alexa. Thank you, Alexa.
You're welcome.
And it was a pleasure to have this opportunity with you.
Yes, it was my pleasure. Thank you. Good night.
Have a great evening.